This morning we're going to do a bit of the washing. Of course, there's always the dishes. We might make the beds, and we'll see where life takes us after that. Alright, so the first thing we're going to do is gather up all the washing baskets, and we're going to take all the washing down to your washing machine. For me, my washing baskets are upstairs and my washing machine is downstairs. So I'm just bringing all my washing baskets one by one. There's one in each kid's bedroom. I bring it to the top of the stairs and I just throw them over the stairs, and then I sort the washing at the base of the stairs. And then I take the sorted piles to the washing machines. May not be the most efficient way of doing it, but it's certainly the most energy efficient way for me. I find that I can then go and sit on the floor at the base of the stairs on the nice warm carpet and do all my sorting there. So we have a basket in each bedroom, and we have one in the bathroom as well. And that seems to catch most of the dirty clothes. I've trained the family pretty well now that if you want it washed, it has to be in your basket. If it's not in your basket, I'm not washing it. Quite simple. I don't have the time and the energy really to be sorting through the kids' bedroom floors looking for stuff. And at 10 and 11, they've worked out that if they want their clothes washed, it has to go in the basket. And that was some hard lessons learned over the years, you know. Mum, where's my such and such? I need it for this activity. Well, I haven't seen it come through the wash. And it's been found screwed up on the floor. And they've had to go to said activity with dirty clothes. Well, you know, they only had to do that once or twice and soon learned if I need it, it needs to go here. And I figure it's better to learn those lessons early while they're still young and before their friends really sort of started to judge appearances and stuff like that. So good to get that out of the way nice and early rather than as teenagers where appearance suddenly becomes very important. All right, so I've tossed all the washing downstairs. While I'm upstairs, I'm going to just quickly make the kids' beds. They normally do them, but everyone was a bit late out of bed this morning. I'm only really going to straighten them, though, to be fair, because my shoulder is still not right. And just pulling up the sheets I've just done on my daughter's bed has actually hurt my shoulder, so we're just going to straighten it, make it look nicer, and pretend that we made some beds. So that's her bed covers straightened. My son's is a little easier to do because he doesn't sleep next to a wall. We fixed that at about 3 a.m. one night, about 7 or 8 years ago, when we were sick of being woken up in the middle of the night by thump, thump, thump as he rolls over in bed. I liken him to a thrashing octopus when he sleeps. That is just arms and limbs going everywhere. And we've just done a bit of a cycle excursion, and the last night we had to sleep in the same bed. And my goodness, even though it was a king-size bed and I retreated to the far side of the bed, the thrashing octopus still got me. So things haven't really changed. So his bed will continue to sleep outside of the wall, step outside of the wall, so that as he rolls over in his sleep, he doesn't get the wall and wake up the family. All right, that's two out of three beds straightened. Let's do the last one. It's not a perfect job, but it looks better than it did. And that's the best that we're looking for. Hello, Pup-Pups, how you doing? You want to get up on the bed? Well, nobody's actually going to be here, so there's not much point of that, my darling. We've got a little cavoodle, and she does think she's the spoilt child. Alrighty, let's go downstairs and sort some washing. Alright, before I go downstairs to sort the washing, I'm going to tidy up the clothes in our bedroom that just kind of get tossed and forgotten. So you might have a pile of clothes that are sitting on the floor beside your bed where you get undressed in the evening, or you might have a pile of clothes sitting on a chair or something like that. So we're not going to spend a huge time doing this, and if you've got a mount fold me, it's probably going to take you a bit longer, but we're just going to spend 5 minutes and we're going to just fold. We're not going to put them away, we're just going to fold, because what I find is often as I'm folding and then go and put them away, I go and get distracted by something else that was over there and I forget what I was doing. So I like to fold them up and put the folded items onto my bed. And as I fold them, I put them into piles. So like I put all the t-shirts together, and all the jumpers together. And then when it goes time to put them away, it happens a lot quicker. Somehow I've even got a dog jumper in here. That's odd because she doesn't even wear dog jumpers. Okay. So we were... my son and I were away over the long weekend. We've just had Queen's birthday here. And it's a bit of one of the reasons why there's been such a pause between episodes. I've had a epic trip to plan for, and amongst a whole pile of other stuff that's just been going on in our home life. But I'm starting to get the rhythm of how to put all these together nice and quick. I'm just going to keep them rough and ready. I'm not going to over-edit them. I'm not going to over-produce them. Pretty much take me as I am. We're just going to, basically, you know, if there's a pause when I'm rabbiting on, I'm going to keep it in. Because that's what's actually happening in real life. And it feels like I'm talking to you guys. And if I was talking to you guys, I wouldn't be... editing what I said. I wouldn't be saying, just scrub that last sentence and I'd like to change it. No, these are just going to be come as you are chats. So now that I've kind of have decided that and I'm not going to over edit everything, we'll be able to get these episodes out a lot quicker without really hyper focusing on trying to achieve perfection, because that's not going to be what this kind of show is about. If you're looking for that kind of show, this might not be the place for you. However, I hope you'll give us a bit more of a chance and maybe come to enjoy this style. So anyway, I've almost finished the little pile beside my bed. It wasn't too horrific, which is unusual, but I've almost finished folding it. We're just going to spend a few more minutes doing that. If you have finished folding your little pile, maybe go and have a look at putting some of them away. Or if you haven't put them away, maybe just have a look in one drawer and see if you can find one item in there that you don't actually want anymore. It doesn't bring you joy, it might not fit. You might have bought it 10 or 20 years ago and just haven't really worn it in the last 5, and it's probably time to move it on. If we're not wearing these things or using these things, there isn't really much point in having these things. All they do then at that point is become clutter. I mean, obviously there's some items that's good to hold on to. You know, like I don't often wear nice pretty frocks anymore. But when I have the incredibly rare occasion to, it's often in the winter. And I like to have something to put over my shoulders. Now, I've got a range of different items that I can put over my shoulders, and they all look different, and they suit different outfits. Now, I'm not going to go and get rid of all of those, because usually when I'm in that situation, I'm not highly organized enough to have put my outfit together 3 months in advance. So I just throw it together at the last second almost, and it's usually on the day of that I'm going, ooh, now I probably want something around my shoulders because it's a little cold. And that's usually when I get caught out. So I keep a range of shrugs and cardies and shawls and stoles or whatever they're called. And I'm okay with that because that helps me out when I need that help. So I'm okay with having that excess clutter. But probably what does need to go is, the pair of pajamas that I've not worn in a few years because they just don't fit. That's probably the stuff that actually needs to go. And while I'm folding up my stuff, it's change of season here, and I'm looking at some stuff and I'm going, oh, yeah, that really is a summer item, and it's end of summer now. I'm not going to wear that for a few months. And while it's not really dirty, it has been worn, and stains do tend to develop when they've not been used. Alrighty, so I think that's probably enough folding for now. So I'm going to start taking my piles of clothes that I have folded, and we're going to pick them up and pop them into the drawers. Now this should be pretty quick. This isn't the time to look at the drawer and go, oh, that needs totally resorting. It's everything's all been stuffed in here and things aren't really fitting in here anyway. If you've got a drawer that is a little bit like that, maybe it does need a little bit of a sort out. And this, you might find, is the best time to do that. But put the other clothes away in the other drawers first and then come back to that drawer. Don't let that drawer distract you first. Get the other ones away in quickly. You'll probably find that you do it in less than the time it takes me to finish telling you about putting your clothes in the drawer. It should be pretty quick because everything's all folded now. You've got all your knickers together and all your t-shirts together, all your pants together, all your pants or trousers, whichever country you're in and whichever one you wish to use. You should have it all together and they should almost all be in the drawers. If you would like to hyper-focus in on that drawer that you looked at that went, it really needs a proper sort, then go right ahead and do that. Come back to that. We'll sort the washing out that we tossed out of the rooms earlier and we'll get a load of washing on. We'll get the rest of the washing into their washing baskets ready for washing, and then we can come back to that drawer. And I'll try and remember to remind you to come back to that at the end. So I'm going to go downstairs now and I'm going to start sorting the washing. So I like to sort my washing into colours because I got sick of the colours running, and especially red. Red shirts making a white t-shirt now pink, or a white knickers now pink knickers. And some of them was quite artistic and did look quite pretty, but they certainly weren't the white shirt anymore. So I like to, at a minimum, pull the red stuff out because it always seems to be red that runs, and sometimes black. Blacks I like to wash together because, if black runs with black, it only helps make everything black. I do like to pull the whites out to keep them nice and white, and everything else kind of just sort of mushes into the middle, and I wait and see what we've got, how many loads we've got. I know some people like to just sort it by person and then you've got one person's wash come through. So, whatever you find easiest. Shouldn't take too long, hopefully. I know it's been a wee while since we've had one of these little podcasts, but hopefully you've been keeping on top of things while we've been away. So the epic trip we did, we got a couple of forms of public transport, and then we took the Tahuia train, which is the new train out to Hamilton. From Hamilton we got picked up by a shuttle company, a bike shuttle company, and they took us and our bikes out to Lake Karapiro. And then from Lake Karapiro we stayed in a tent, and bearing in mind it is now officially winter here, so we stayed in a little wee tent, little two-man tent, so it's just wide enough for my son and I to lie down in the tent and
Actually, that was all that was the space in the tent. All our bags had to stay out in the vestibule just outside the tent. And luckily that was undercover, so the dew wasn't getting them all wet. And our bikes we chained up just outside our tent. First night, we were right on the water's edge of Lake Karapiro, and it would have been absolutely gorgeous waking up in the morning and seeing the lake. And it's quite a popular area for rowers and kayakers to practice. And in the morning they had some rowing races, and it would have been absolutely awesome to see all of those races. The only problem was it was so foggy, we could barely see 100 metres in front of us. The fog thankfully did start to lift in time for the rowing races, but yeah, it was pretty hard to see what was going on. We could see the finish, but we certainly couldn't see the start of the race. But that was a lovely start, and then from there we cycled to Cambridge, and that was a very short cycle. In hindsight, I would have actually tried to make us cycle a little bit further. There is another campground further up the trail, which takes the public when they haven't got events on. So I would have, think I would contact them next time and see whether they had space. But the little short ride from Karapiro to Cambridge did make me realise that the bags weren't evenly distributed with their weight, especially the one I was carrying on my back. It was much too heavy. So because it was only a little short 12k ride, I think, that day, I was able to put up with it until we got to Cambridge. And of course, you know, at Cambridge we had our lunch and then we had our dinner and had our breakfast, and that helped lighten the load a bit. And then the next day I actually tied my sleeping bag to my handlebars, and that worked really well, so my bag was a lot lighter at that point. And the journey then through to Hamilton was a lot nicer. We did about 35 k's that day. The suggested halfway point for this rail, the river ride we did, it's called Te Awa River Ride. The suggested halfway point is Hamilton Gardens, and they say find accommodation around Hamilton Gardens, and then the second day you cycle through to Narrawohia. Well, we'd taken a little chunk out at Cambridge, so I couldn't find any campgrounds around Hamilton Gardens, but I did find a campground in the centre of Hamilton. So by taking the little chunk out at the beginning, we were able to go just that little bit further on that day, and we cycled about 35 k's. Now, I know for the experienced bike packers amongst you, 35 k's is probably the amount you do before breakfast in the morning. However, when you're 10 years old and you've got 5.5 kgs on your bike that you're not used to cycling with, and you're only used to cycling 5 minutes down the road to school and back every day, that was quite a big ride for him. And he did amazingly well. He did so well. He never complained once. I had about 26 k's on my bike, but then I do have the e-bike as well. Now, sorry, there's a little bit of road noise in the background now. I've looked at the clock and it is 2:55 here, so I need to go and pick up my daughter from school. She didn't come on the bike trip with us because she actually bent her leg backwards playing netball at school for PE, and she's been on crutches for 2 weeks, so she didn't come on the bike trip with us. Her and my husband were originally planned to come on it. Unfortunately, we had to leave them behind. Anyway, hopefully you have finished sorting all your washing. Go ahead and pot a load in the washing machine and set that going. If you've got washing in the washing machine already, go and tuck that into the dryer or go and hang it up on the clothesline. And then if you're hanging it up on the clothesline, that's great. Hopefully that means that the weather at your neck of the woods is a lot nicer than what it has been here lately. So while you're doing that, and while I'm driving down the road and concentrating on traffic, this episode has actually come to you in about 5 parts, and hopefully you haven't really noticed too much of a disjoint in it. It's been quite busy at our house today. We've got a room up above the garage which I've been redecorating, and with my shoulder the way it is, I wasn't able to finish the final wall. So my parents have been coming around and have been helping me finish that last wall, which has been great. And we were hoping to get a top coat of paint on today, but there was just a little bit of prep that needed to be finished off. So I managed to record a little bit of this before they arrived and a little bit after they have left home, left our house, and now I'm recording a little bit more on the drive, and I'm sure there'll be a little bit more while I'm waiting for the school bell to ring, and yeah, we'll get there, but hopefully this is still a valuable episode for you. So where were we? Hanging out washing, or changing washing over. Alright, so if you've got washing that has come out of the dryer, just pop it into a basket and bring it into wherever you like to fold the washing. I like to fold the washing in front of the TV, and I go and put on a episode that I like to watch. Preferably one that's actually on TV, not on Netflix. I find that when I watch Netflix or something, you know, some other streaming service like that, they are designed to keep your attention there for a long time. So at the end of the show, they don't really even seem to show the credits. They're too keen to get you into watching the next show, because if you get up and walk away, they might actually lose you as an audience. And they don't want to lose you as an audience. They want to keep you there and keep you focused and keep you watching. So I find that that's not a good type of show to put on while I'm folding washing or while I'm doing anything else that I actually don't want to get absorbed into. So I like to watch something on TV or a pre-recording of something on TV. And every time the ads come on, I actually make a point of picking up what I've folded and taking it to the person's bedroom and then coming back down. And the ad breaks are long enough that I can do that. I can get up and I can take it there and get back before the show comes back on. And the ad breaks kind of give me that incentive to move and get going. So that means that when I actually have finished folding, when it gets to the end of the show, I go, oh, okay, now it's time. I have to get up and move, and I've got to do this. I just find, you know, just playing that little game really helps me get the job done and getting it away. You know, bonus points if you get it into the drawers. But I at least try and get it onto everybody's beds so that when they head off to bed at night, that they've got the clothes there and it's a quick job for them. And again, when I'm folding, I like to sort it into piles of who it is, what type of clothing it is, because it really doesn't take long to fold into a pile, a specific pile. It takes no longer to sort it at that point, but it takes a lot longer to go through that big pile of folded clothes and go, oh, this is hers, this is his, this belongs to this person, this is theirs, this is a t-shirt, oh damn, I've already put their t-shirts away, oh, now this is the 6th t-shirt I've come across and I'm doing it again. I find it easier just as to sort it as I fold it, and it does mean that I end up with a whole pile of folded clothes all around me, but it really doesn't take that much longer. When I've got a massive pile, I will actually spend the time at the beginning to sort it into everybody's piles first, and I'll just get a washing basket for each person
and I'll toss it into each person's washing basket first and do it that way. But otherwise, I'll just sort as I go, because if it's not a huge pile, it's not going to take that long to do. Right, I've just got to do a 3-point turn, and I've actually arrived right on the school bell, so I'm keeping half an eye out for my daughter that she doesn't walk past the driveway at the same time that I've just, through the road. So I will have to break off when she arrives, and I've got to take her to the osteo to get her knee checked to make sure it's all sitting right and the muscles are all happy and all that kind of stuff. She starts physio tomorrow, and I would just like to be assured that her knee is actually ready for that and that it's not a little bit too early. It's been a long time since I've been at a physio, to be fair. I'm not really 100% sure what they do. The last time I went to a physio would have been last century. And to be honest, I was not that impressed at all. I went there for 2 months with a really bad ankle, and I ended up sorting myself out and fixing myself. Oh, here she is now. All right. I will have another pause in the episode, and I will be back shortly with you. Right, I'm back again. We've been to the osteo. Hopefully your folding is looking a lot better than her knee. The prognosis is that they think she's either stretched or possibly torn a couple of ligaments, and no way is she to start physio yet. She's not to do any sports. If she's finding walking around difficult, she's to go back on crutches. So not the best news that we were hoping for. So we got sent a referral form for an ultrasound, and she now needs to go and get an ultrasound. So thankfully I managed to find a booking tomorrow, which is quite unusual, because the last time I had to book an ultrasound, which was for my shoulder, pretty much the waiting times were like a month, month and a half, which was just ridiculous. So it's looking like we've either been lucky with the cancellation, or things are just starting to come back to normal. But either way, we are now back in the holding pattern. So physio has been cancelled for now. Hopefully we can resume that in a couple of weeks' time, but we'll just have to wait and see. So anyway, you should hopefully be near the end of all the folding today. It really has turned into a bit of a folding day, hasn't it? We've done the folding up in our bedrooms of any clothes that were lying around. And now folding that part of Mount Fold Me. I was going to say Mount Washmore, but we've sorted Mount Washmore, and we've popped Mount Washmore away, ready and waiting to be washed. We got one load in the laundry, in the washing machine going at the moment. Hopefully there might even be something in your dryer, but that all depends on whether you'd had a load on earlier or not. And if there was a load in the dryer, then folding with that as well. If you didn't have any folding to do, well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. I hope you found something to get on with, maybe up in your bedroom or somewhere around, that kept you entertained while I've told you a few of our tales that have been going on here lately. So what we're going to do next is probably in about 2 or 3 minutes' time, we're going to start into the dishes in the kitchen. So just finish up the laundry that you're doing at the moment. If you've only got a few items left to do, you may as well just finish that and get it done with. Otherwise, it's probably time to pick up what you have folded and go and get them up into the rooms that they need to go to get pot away. Bonus points for if you do actually go and pot them away. That would be absolutely amazing. And that's one job totally done. And it really does feel good when we totally get a job done. We'll just spend a couple of minutes getting that all finished off. I've just got a couple of things here left to put away from earlier. So sorry I sort of abruptly left earlier and jumped into a car before I realised it. Or before you guys realised it, really. I was folding the washing and all the rest, and I looked, just happened to glance at my watch to see how long we'd been going for, and I went, oh my goodness, it's time to pick her up from school. And she had a 3:15 appointment, so we really needed to get motoring. I couldn't hang around and sort of say what was happening until it was happening. So that's what happened there, so sorry about that. But yes, I've noticed that there's a couple of different audio sounds as I've been replaying what I have managed to record today to make sure that we've got the continuity going for you guys. But it's been a little mixed up, but I have learnt what gives better audio. So it's not been a total waste of time. So it has been productive and constructive, I guess, is the way to go. So anyway, hopefully you've got all the washing at least into the rooms where they need to go by now. Hopefully it hasn't taken too long. By just spending a little bit of time folding, you haven't got a massive pile to then go and pot away. And it's often, especially, you know, with me anyway, it's the finishing that I always struggle to do. Like I'm quite good at getting started on a project, but it's the finishing the project that really, really gets in the way of, I guess, finishing the project. So do try and pot the clothes into the drawers if you can. Just do your best at getting away what you can get away. If you've been sorting out a drawer because you didn't have washing in your dryer to fold, well done on getting that drawer sorted. I bet it's looking a heck of a lot better. Hopefully you've just done one drawer at a time and not pulled out all the drawers and now have a mountain on the floor. If you do have a mountain on the floor, just stay there and continue with it, and the rest of us will move on to the dishes. So we're going to start with emptying the dishwasher. It's always a really good place to start. It can get all the clean stuff away so that as we're moving the dirty stuff around, we're not getting the clean stuff dirty. So opening up the dishwasher and potting away everything that's in the dishwasher. We'll also do the drying rack. If you've got a drying rack with some things on, get those pot away as well. Maybe do those first before you do the dishwasher. I often find the plastic stuff in the dishwasher doesn't dry properly. It just doesn't get hot enough to dry. So what I like to do is, as I empty the dishwasher out, I like to pot all those plastic items up on the drying rack. And often by the time I've finished the dishwasher or whatever else I'm doing in the kitchen, those items on the drying rack are looking a lot drier. So it's not so much of a problem. And then it's really quick to get the tea towel and give it a quick dry and pot them away. So just maybe have a look at your drying rack first. If there's stuff there, get that away. But anyway, where were we up to with the story with the cycle tour? Oh, that's right. So I've told you about the legs of our journey and where we sort of stayed each night. So now let's talk about the distances we did. Man, this little chappy of mine is a trooper. So the first day was nice and easy. It was about 12 k's, I think. And it was nice that it was a nice, easy day because we discovered that my bags were too heavy. So after we did a repack that night, I think I might have told you this already, actually. The next day we had a big 35 k ride and it was feeling a lot better. The following day, we added the sleeping bag, my sleeping bag, onto the back of Oliver's rack. And I said to him, look, if it gets too heavy, that's fine. Just let me know, because it will be nice for me to have a bit of a rest for it to start with. And then I'll happily take it back. But he keeps saying, oh, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Now, when we did our last cycle tour, it was a year ago, and he ended up with about 3 kgs, and he was struggling with that. So a year has made a huge difference, because this year he had 5.5 kgs, and we cycled further for longer and over more days. So a year has made a huge difference. So I think if we do another one in a year's time, what he'll be able to carry and how far he'll be able to go will just be that much greater. What I have discovered is that his ability has outstripped his bicycle. And a lot of what is slowing us down now is purely the top speed that his top gear and his bike will go. He just can't go any faster, and he's averages around 11 to 15 kilometres an hour, and when he's really going hard, he's about 20 k's, whereas I know my daughter on her bike, she sort of averages around 20 k's and can get it up to 30 quite happily. So I think his abilities outstripped his bike, so it's probably time for us to start looking for a new bike for him. Yeah, but I guess that's what happens. The kids get bigger, they get older. We got him that bike because it was simple and it was easy, and he only had to move one hand to change gears, whereas it's got rim brakes as well, so it doesn't stop as quickly. There's no suspension on it at all. So when we go mountain biking, he struggles to stop. He struggles going over tree roots and stuff like that because his tyres just sort of bounce over them. There's no suspension to make the ride smoother and easier. But he really enjoys mountain biking, even though he's got all these bike challenges. But I guess he's never ridden a bike that doesn't do this, so he doesn't know any better. But yeah, he's just a real trooper and just blows me away. When he puts his mind to something and is focused on it, that's what he does. So anyway, this cycle path we did, the Te Awa River ride, there were places where we could have done shortcuts to make it shorter, but no, he was adamant that we would do the trail start to finish with no shortcuts. So that was absolutely amazing. And I'm really, really proud of him and myself too for what we managed to achieve. I was really worried with my chronic fatigue that after day two I would just collapse into a heap and not be able to do any more, especially with the weight that was on my bike. So my bike was so heavy because Oliver's bike was so light. And when I say he had 5.5 kgs on his bike, that's including the rack and the bags, not just the gear he was carrying. That was, you know, that was the total weight extra that he had. So I had all our clothes, all the food, the tent, originally my sleeping bag as well. So everything, you know, the toolkit for the bikes, the whole lot. Yes, I'm back in the car again. We've had to stop the podcast quickly for dinner. It's getting quite late in the day here now. So let me just try and pop the phone there and hopefully that works. So I've just dropped my daughter off at Guides now, and we are on our way home, so I thought I would quickly record a little bit more, because I'm determined to get this podcast finished for you guys and get it out, because it's been such a long time and I keep watching the number of views of the number of listens from the last podcasts, and they keep increasing, so that tells me that either one or two of you are really enjoying them and are just playing them over and over, or I keep reaching a greater audience, so it'd be really good to get some more out. So Don't forget you can get hold of me on Instagram on cleaning.bites, B-I-T-E-S. I'm on there. At the moment the icon is the same as the podcast icon, so you should be able to find me all right. There's not a heck of a lot on there. I'm not a prolific poster, to be fair. I'm not one of these live on social media type. I much rather read and look than post, but we'll see how we go. So anyway, dishwashers, hopefully your dishwasher is mostly emptied now. I think it's been about 6 or 7 minutes since you've been doing the dishwashers and tidying up any dishes. If you happen to have finished your dishwasher, have a look at beside your bench, your sink, and if there's any dishes there that need to be washed, fill up the sink of water and start washing a few dishes. If you're still finishing your dishwasher, that's cool. If you're still finishing sorting out that drawer, that's cool too. Just focus in on that and get it done. And if you happen to finish before the end of the podcast, then just jump in wherever we are. Don't try and catch up. We'll be doing enough of various little items that you should be able to just jump in wherever. So we were talking about this cycling trip, and oh, it was just a beautiful trip. The leg of it that I enjoyed the most was going from Hamilton Gardens through to Ngarawahia. The river trail, the trail at that point followed the river all the way. It was called the River Trail, but to be fair, most of the trail didn't actually follow the river. We were near the river the whole time, but we couldn't always see the river, and that I was a bit disappointed in. I thought we were going to be able to see the mighty Waikato River the whole way through, but no. Only really the Hamilton Gardens to Ngarawahia leg did we see the river the whole way through. So it would have been nice to have seen a bit more of it, but c'est la vie, it is what it is. And needless to say, we actually enjoyed all of it. But the most picturesque I found was the Hamilton Gardens to Ngarawahia. That leg was about 27 k's, I think it was. Mildly downhill the whole way, so it was really easy ride. And it did rain on us. We had nothing like the weather that we were expecting. We've taken a lot of video, and my son really wants to put together a YouTube of our trip. He's really got into doing video editing. His camera work is a lot to be desired, so we're going to have to teach him how to talk to a camera and not be waving the phone around at everything while he's talking. So it'll be interesting to see what that footage looks like when he finally pulls it all together. But if you're interested, I will leave a comment on one of the podcasts or on the Instagram when he finally pulls that all together. So I'm leaving that as his project. I don't know how to edit videos, and he seems to know how to do that at 10 years old. So I will get him to teach me one day. But anyway, hopefully now that was enough time to finish off your dishwasher, and we'll all move on to doing the dishes that are beside the sink. I actually have a stack of dishes. I've already emptied the dishwasher once today and reloaded it, and almost reloaded it totally, and with our dinner dishes the dishwasher has been run again. So my son's job tonight was to empty the dishwasher. Hopefully when I get home from dropped my daughter off at Guides, he has actually finished emptying the dishwasher, and there is a stack of dishes waiting for me beside the sink to go and wash. So we will try and do those tonight, but it is starting to get a bit late now in the day for here. But I will try and do those with you. I'm only a little way from home, but you guys can get a head start on me and we'll see how we go. I've actually got quite a stack, so it's going to take me quite a while
to do all the dishes, but what I think I might do is just break it down. So I've got a lot of plastic bags to wash. So from our trip, I pack all our food into day lots, into plastic bags, so that we could just feel like we could open that bag and just eat and eat and eat and not have to worry about, oh, how many of these have I got left for however many days? Because I kept forgetting how many days it was. I kept forgetting what day of the week it was. So I just knew where we were going next. So by having it all proportioned out first, it made it a lot easier when we're actually on the trail and cycling along. So we've got all those plastic bags to wash and check, and if they've got holes in them, we'll just throw them out because there's no point keeping holding plastic bags. But if they're perfectly fine, we like to wash them and reuse them, and you can often get quite a few reuses out of them. It's not really a cost-saving exercise, though I guess it is, but I also think it's better for the environment too, because there's not quite so much single-use plastic then going out into the environment. Just coming through an intersection, so just concentrating a second. Right, that was easy. So I've got a lot of plastic bags. To get the plastic bags to dry properly, it's easy to put them over a water bottle. And I haven't got that many water bottles to wash, so we will probably do a few loads over the next couple of days just to catch back up again. The other thing that's been going on in our house is that my husband actually fractured a vertebra in his back. So he has been out of action and not able to be doing much. So with Oliver and I away over the wet long weekend, there's a lot of household jobs that haven't been done that needed to be done. So I still need to mow the lawns, I've got to clean the fish tank still. I managed to get quite a bit of washing done today in between recording all these various episodes. I've managed to get 3 loads of washing through. I've got 2 loads folded and 1 to put away when dinner was called. So I've got just to finish that, but I'll do that, I think, after I have caught up with you guys to do the dishes. So just carry on doing your dishes, and I will be inside with you again in 2 ticks. I don't drop the phone first. All right, I'm inside. Let's crack into this, see if I can catch up with you guys for the dishes here. Let's see how we go. Right, first I need to clean the sink out. Just a little bit of food left in there. I'll get the hot water in. Get my soap in. Ooh, that's almost empty. That'll do. And while the sink is filling with hot water, I'm going to quickly empty my dry rack. I knew there was stuff in there. And that's why I was encouraging you guys to do yours, because I knew I was going to have to do mine too when I got home. Alright. That'll be enough water. Let's get the last of these dishes away, ready to put the wet stuff in. There we go. Right, let's get on with it. Plastic bags first. Okay, first bag in the water. I got a bit of catching up to do if I got to catch up to you guys. Oh, you're racing ahead of me. That's all right. It's not a race. Well, it could be a race. That could be fun. Oh, maybe we could play like tidy up bingo one day. I did that for a while with the kids when I was trying to get them enthused on cleaning up their toys and stuff when they had stuff everywhere. We'd get something to put that on. We'd play a game called Tidy Up Bingo, and I had a little bingo board that had the rooms on it, and we would spin a little wheel and see which room it landed on, and we would go and spend 15 minutes in that room to tidy up. Well, I thought it was fun, but the kids didn't really get into it. I think the fact that it was a game still couldn't overcome the fact that they were tidying up. But anyway, we tried. I try lots of things. Try and make it interesting. Try and make it a game. The more fun you can make things, the more likely you're going to do it and get on with it. Tonight, I got home from dropping Sasha off. That went out of sequence, sorry. So I got home from dropping Sasha off. Here's what really happened, not what you just heard. I got home from dropping her off at Guides and came home and I ate the last little bit of my dinner and had some ice cream. But when I got home, Ollie was still emptying the dishwasher and I said, how can we make this fun for you? What about if we put the timer on? How many minutes do you think? And you race the timer. And he was like, And we sat down while he carried on doing it. And then he comes through and he goes, Mum, you forgot to ask Dad about the ice cream. Because he found ice cream in your freezer, see? So we thought the other half of the family had been eating ice cream while we were on our bike ride. So I said, all right. So we asked him about it. I said, yep, sure enough, they had ice cream. And guess what? There was just enough left for two bowls of ice cream. So I said to Ollie, tell you what, if you finish doing the dishwasher, before the beeper goes off, we'll have a bowl of ice cream. Well, we'd put six, I'd said he only needed to spend 6 minutes to doing the dishwasher. I reckoned he could do it in under six. He reckoned he needed, you know, 8, 9, 10 minutes. So we settled on 7 minutes. He'd wasted 2 minutes umming and ahhing about it. Then remembered about the ice cream. And he finished with 2 minutes to spare. So when his focus is on the right thing, he's off. Totally off. Alright, I'm just scrubbing another tray here, so sorry about that noise. That's a little bit noisier than I would have liked. Sorry guys, that makes it a bit harder for you to hear. Oh, the backside's dirty. How did that happen? Scrub, scrub, scrub. Though, the good news is, there weren't as many bags there as I thought. Just get that plate in somewhere without knocking the whole lot over. That'll be good. There we go. My dishwasher rack, though, is starting to look a bit full. Yeah, so that's what really happened when I came home. So we came home, we had a bowl of ice cream. and then I cracked into my dishes, and on the podcast I pretended I had literally just walked in the door. Isn't that the marvels of editing? and it wasn't really editing, it was just starting the record and going, right, I'm inside, let's go. But since then, this is my second attempt to get this running. Today has just been one of those days where it has been near impossible to get an hour to myself to record a cleaning bite. So today really has been in bites. A little bite here, a little bite there. But I will string them all together for you so that you can listen to them all in one go, because I know that helps a lot more. But even still, you've managed to get quite a bit done in this podcast, even though it's been a little bit disjointed. The next one shouldn't be quite so bad. Life certainly will be calming down a lot after this weekend, I hope. No, I am a little concerned about my daughter's knee and what that is going to mean going forward. How much treatment is that going to require to get it right? She is only young and she's growing, which makes it even more important that we get the right treatment on her knee. But we'll get there. We always do. That's the great thing about life. You might think that something is going to be super hard and super bad, and once you actually get in and do it, we often discover it's not as bad as it seemed after all. And saying that, I've only got 3 trays left to do. I'm whistling through these dishes. Have I caught up to you guys yet? Are you still doing your dishes? Have you finished your dishes? If you finished your dishes, wipe down your bench. That could be me. That's now being a bit slow because I was still driving home when you guys started. So you have got a head start on me. If you're looking at your massive stack of dishes right beside you and a full drying rack, and you're going, man, how can these people be almost finished? If the water's dirty, pull out the plug. That's enough for today. Dry what you've washed and pop them away. Grab your tea towel and give them a dry. That's probably the best advice I can give you. It's got 2 oven racks. I wonder why they're out. They don't look particularly dirty. I don't really feel like scrubbing them either. Prefer to do oven racks when I clean the oven with the oven spray. They come up real good and real fast that way. Otherwise it just takes forever scrubbing them all down. But I'll give them a quick swizz up and down with the scrubber. Up and down each spine on the rack, I guess that's what you'd call them. Not really sure, to be honest, but that one's almost right. So anyway, in podcast land, we dropped my daughter off at Guides about 5 or 6 minutes ago. In reality, it was 2 hours ago. I've just gone 2 hours ago. My husband's just gone out to pick her up, so I'm just going to get the last of these dishes done while he's picking her up. And then we can all go to bed. And then in the morning, I can put all this together and pop it out onto the podcast for you guys to listen to. I'm quite excited to be finally getting another episode out. It's been far too long. I've been thinking about it and trying to catch the time to do it. But this trip that we've done took me 3 days to pack for, and about 2 or 3 days to plan. It's actually been quite a monumental effort to pull it all together. COVID has made it a bit harder because a lot of the shuttle companies are no longer operating, or they've basically just wound the business down for a little while until the tourists come back. So it's been a little bit interesting trying to get that sorted. Accommodation proved to be another tricky one to get sorted. A lot of motels and stuff are providing emergency housing at the moment. So a few places I rang to try and book. Well, actually quite a few places. We're totally fully booked. And I'm talking to the place we stayed in Huntley. He said that because a lot of the hotels are now quarantine facilities, that all the people who would have stayed in hotels are now looking for the Airbnbs to stay at. They're looking for book-a-batch, they're looking for motels. So it's just kind of made what accommodation is available a lot more difficult to find. And that was interesting. I hadn't actually thought of that. So even though we don't have international tourists here at the moment, we do have local domestic tourists. And because people can't go overseas themselves for their holidays, they're choosing to holiday in New Zealand, which is fabulous because they're getting to see their own country. But yeah, it's potting up with everything that's carried on. So the social housing, we've got a bit of a housing crisis here at the moment where there's more people than there are houses for them to live in. And what the government has done is to get these people a roof over their heads, they've gone, well, we've got motels. So they're paying to pop these poor people up in hotels, in motels, so that they've got somewhere to sleep over their heads. That was poor as in unfortunate, not poor as in financially poor, by the way. Because lack of housing is not just hitting the financially poor, it's hitting everybody. It's one minute you could be happy in your house and then your landlord gives you notice and suddenly you don't have a roof over your head anymore. And when you're competing with 60 other people for a house, it's almost impossible. So yeah, a lot of people are finding themselves in situations that they never ever thought they would ever be in. So that's really sad for a lot of people. I heard a statistic the other day that I think 1/3 of high school students have had insecure housing of some description over the last 12 months. That's just horrific. That really affects their education. And I honestly think we are not just the pandemic, but the fallout from it all is really going to hit this current generation hard in more ways than is immediately obvious. And the education, for a start, has been so disrupted. My kids were at home for 11 weeks last year. I know, well, over a 12-month period, on top of their school holidays. Now, I know for some countries, 11 weeks just sounds like nothing. But what actually happened was it was 11 very disruptive weeks where the teachers were trying to set work but weren't teaching. So it was just 11 weeks of revision. So that's 11 weeks of learning that they missed out on. Because our lockdowns were all quite piecemeal, you know, one week we'd be fine, the next week we'd be in lockdown for a week or 3 or 4 days and then we'd be fine again. So the teachers really didn't know what to plan or how to plan. So I feel really sorry for them because some terms they were going into the term having created two sets of lesson plans, one that they could do online at home and one that they could do in the classroom. And that's just a huge amount of work for teachers. So I feel like I know a couple of teachers and they were just pulling their hairs out last year going, what the heck do we do? So at least with countries that are having, you know, 6-12 month style lockdowns, the teachers have got something to work with. They can get into a rhythm, and it just felt like every time we got into a rhythm with them, either at school or at home, suddenly they weren't at school and they weren't at home anymore. So it was just really disruptive and really hard. And I just feel like we haven't actually got back into a rhythm at all yet. And now with my husband at home with a fractured vertebrae, it's just hard finding that rhythm again. And that's in a part why I wanted to do these podcasts too, to try and get some rhythm going back into our own life. I was struggling to find the motivation to get going and get doing stuff, and these are providing that, even though they've been very disjointed in getting out to you. They are definitely helping me, and I hope they are helping you guys as well. So yeah, right, that's enough scrubbing of my last dish. Woo-hoo. She says scrubbing it just a bit more. It's like, damn it, I'm cleaning you, you will be clean. I am not going to have any little bits of that Dawn food left or grease or... I call them oven stains. Those little black marks that seem to appear on oven trays and stuff, and you look at it and you go, but no food was even touching there. What's, you know, is it splatter? Is it airborne aromatics that have
congealed on the dish, on the tray. Yeah, it's so hard to know. Anyway, that will do that for today. The rest can be done another day with a oven cleaner, because I do find that works so much more efficiently. So now I'm going to put that back in the sink for a quick rinse over after I've given it a big scrub with the Stilo pad. And that's me done. Right. Now, with my water, which isn't too funky looking, I'm going to give this kitchen bench a bit of a scrub down, because it's been a wee while since this kitchen bench has been seen in all its glory. Why is it that you think you're finished and you find another drink bottle? Damn it! Oh, the water's too dirty for that now. It will have to wait for next time. There's always one, isn't it? Just like when you put the load of washing on, you turn around and there's one sock, and I swear it just sits at you and goes, ha ha. I got so fed up with it when we had to buy a new washing machine a couple of years back. I made sure that the washing machine had the add sock function. Because on the front loaders, it's usually a 2 minute delay before you can open the front door, which I always think is really stupid for so many reasons. I mean, imagine if you horrifically had a child trapped in there, you'd be staring at them for 2 minutes, waving, going, hello, dear, keep breathing. And oh gosh, you hear some horrific stories every now and then of a child who has been caught in a washing machine. Just frightened me totally when my kids were toddlers. Thankfully, this place had a door that I could lock between the kitchen and the laundry. Oh, sorry, the main house and the laundry. But man, our house before that, it was just a sliding door straight off the lounge. And oh gosh, did it scare me that the kids would get in there and play and, you know, one turn it on without really understanding what they were doing. But anyway, they call it a child safety feature. That's not how I think of it. Anyway, my benches are now totally wiped down. I just got to wipe my stove and then I'll give the table a wipe. It might be after your breakfast or after your lunch. It's now after our dinner. So I'll give the table a wipe down too. And then we are all ready for breakfast in the morning, which is a nice feeling when you wake up in the morning and you don't see a sink full of dishes. It is actually a really nice feeling just to start the day off on what feels like the front foot and not the back foot. Now, for those of you who didn't sort your drawer out because you wanted to sort your washing out, now's your time after you've wiped your table and wiped your bench. Now's your time to go and wipe that down. So I told you I'd remind you at the end. And even after all these hundreds of interruptions, miraculously, I have remembered. I have no idea how. I wouldn't count on it happening every episode, but we remembered this time. The other thing you can do if you weren't going to sort out a drawer and you were going to fold your washing at the end of it all, again, now's your good chance. Go and find something on TV that you want to watch. Make sure during the ad breaks you get up and pot some of them away. That one's on you because I don't know what show you're watching and when the ads are on. And make sure that when the TV show has finished that you actually turn the TV off. Don't allow yourself to stay there for 2, 3, 4 shows. Turn it off. And then think about something you would like to do after you've finished watching the TV show, and then go and pot it beside you. Then turn on your TV and then fold your washing. And that way, when you turn your TV off and your mind is going, like mine does, you've got that item that you wanted to get on with afterwards sitting right beside you to help remind you what you were going to do next.
I find that that really helps me. Once something for me is out of sight, it's pretty much out of mind, and I do struggle to come back and remember what I was doing. Why have we always got Lego on the kitchen table? Oh well, life with children. This is Harry Potter minifigures. My kids are big into Harry Potter. Absolutely love it. They've always had amazing imaginations, and J.K. Rowling's stories just really feed into their imagination. And she describes a world that is something that they can follow with their imagination. You know, some of the other sort of sci-fi, fantasy-style books can be a little hard for them to follow. But J.K. Rowling really gets... She knows her audience, and she really is a good writer. Lover or hater, for whatever she said or not said, she's a really good writer. And her books have helped turn my daughter, who hated reading, into an avid reader. And she's just got a love of books and a love of writing now. And she's ahead of her year. She's actually ahead of the year above her as well in her writing. So J.K. Rowling has really opened up her mind, I guess, for imaginative writing and how to structure writing as well. So I think she's got a bright future ahead of her in writing, with whatever path she chooses, because being able to write well helps us in so many avenues of our life. Anyway, that's my table wiped clean. The plug on the water has been pulled. My watch is going back on my wrist. The dishes are done. The kitchen is clean. The washing is running. In fact, the washing may have finished. This would be my fourth load today, but you're first. Go and check your washing machine just before you sit down and do your folding or your drawer tidy. And just check to see if it's ready to change over. Anyway, that's all for today. We'll catch you next time. Ka kite ono.